you are in the market for a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, your first stop has to be BillCurryFord.com. It is a tremendous operation 1 mile north of the stadium, the east side of Dale Mabry, where you will be greeted by General Manager Sean Sullivan, who will find a way, regardless of your financial situation, to satisfy your needs about a vehicle. He'll work with you, and you will be amazed at his flexibility. They've got a great inventory, and it'll be your first stop, and it will likely be your last stop in looking for a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. Those Chinese buffets will kill you dying. Absolutely kill you. We are nearing the end of rainy season, and rainy season brings with it water damage. Sometimes it's a serious issue. Many times it's not. But you have to get it checked out. It's going to weigh on your mind. So your first call has to be Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your first call, even before your call to your insurance people. Florida's Elite Restoration.com for an honest assessment of your situation. Write it down, people. If you even think you might have a mold problem, even think it, you go to Florida's Elite Restoration for peace of mind.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the man you've been waiting for, episode one of this week. It's the Ira Kaufman podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, featuring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira, the king of Newport, Richie. Sage, I got to confess up front here. Little quick confessional here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. That's not the confession. The confession is I had a little technological screw-up, and I lost the podcast that we already recorded, but not the whole thing. So you and I are going to chat, fill in the blanks, and then late in the podcast, I'm going to switch it back to the close of the one we recorded yesterday, and it'll finish it out. So Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan, he's not slipping on his duties today. He was here, but you'll hear his voice much later in the podcast. So Sage, I apologize for taking your time. I know that you were meeting with Barbara Walters today and having lunch with Bette Midler.
Let me turn down my Frank Sinatra album. Oh, hold on 1 second. And all right, I think I'm ready for you, Stevie.
All right, Ira, look, we got to get into the psychology of this. You are the kind of guy who knows how to read between the lines here. What do you make of Bruce Arians getting to the podium on a Tuesday and declaring Ronald Jones the starting running back against the Falcons? What is that about? Why did he do that? And what's going on there?
I thought we were over this, Steve. I really did. I mean, Ronald Jones had a very solid 2019 season. Market improvement over his rookie year. Then he came back and led the team in rushing and could have easily had over 1,000 yards. Steve, if he didn't miss a couple of games at the end. Wasn't like he played bad in the postseason. Didn't get a lot of chances, but he was productive. And I figured he was over his confidence issues. And all it took was one early game fumble. I mean, not a fumble in the middle of the fourth quarter. If anybody should have confidence issues, it should have been Chris Godwin last Thursday night for that gaffe. Yeah, he was struggling for extra yards, but, you know, he had to protect the football, and he didn't do it. And what happens? Brady doesn't lose confidence in Godwin, vice versa, and he makes a big catch to set up the game-winning field goal. Ronald Jones apparently went into a funk zone, and here comes Arians 3 or 4 days later declaring him the starter. First of all, Arians doesn't usually do that. He didn't do it before the season started and didn't say Fournette has won the starting job. He just said both guys are, it's not a big deal. Both guys are going to get plenty of carries. He felt it necessary, Steve. That's the point. He felt it necessary for Ronald Jones's psyche to let him know that he was starting against the Falcons. And here we go again with Ronald Jones, with a very fragile ego. So we'll see what happens. I think he'll bounce back. Fournette will be fine, mostly because the Falcons don't play any defense, Steve. If anything, they got a worse defensive team than the Cowboys. And by the way, Steve, I'm getting slapped around from some Buck fans. Some. I don't want to overreact. And I'm kind of being accused of being a Buck homer. Steve, I never thought I'd see the day of that because I'm usually considered negative Nancy. But I said they were going to slap around the Cowboys. Didn't happen. Of course, they self-destructed and still won the game. Now I'm saying they're going to trounce the Falcons. Steve, all I'm saying is they should take care of business. And if they don't beat themselves, you know, they should win the game handily. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to say they're going 17-0 because you can't predict something like that. But, you know, things will change in week three against the Rams. But for now, the Falcons are a bad team, Steve, and I don't mind saying it.
I think you made a great point there regarding the timing of Arian's announcement and the fact that he made it at all, because all off season he kept downplaying, oh, starter doesn't matter. And then without being asked, he says that Ronald Jones is the starter. It's not like he's the starting quarterback or something. I mean, is he going to declare the starter at strong safety? I mean, you know, it was just a little strange. But one little nugget, Ira, that I think is important. You know, Ronald Jones had that fumble in the second quarter. The Buccaneers' next offensive play was Leonard Fournette fumbling, dropping a screen pass that landed into the hands of the Cowboys for an interception. So it was back-to-back screw-ups. So essentially, one guy's gaffe was no worse than the other. They were literally on an even playing field from there, literally. And the irony is the next running play, the next time they handed the ball off, was, I believe, the first play of the fourth quarter. So they got away from it in a hurry. They grabbed the lead, you know, sort of an evaporation of the running game. And you wrote in your column, you know, they ran less than any team in the league. It's a little bit odd with Ronald Jones. We just have to see where it goes. But frankly, it was a little odd last year when he fumbled against the Giants and he had another fumble and he had a great year. So maybe this is just Ronald Jones.
You know, Steve, I had a fleeting thought when the game ended a Thursday night in terms of the Buck backfield. You could make a case. The beneficiary in terms of the backfield of that game was Keyshawn Vaughn. I mean, that's a crazy way to look at it. But, I mean, gaffes by Fournette and Jones. Bernard made one nice catch on the game-winning drive, but finished, you know, with 15 yards of receptions. Nobody distinguished themselves out of the three. And to be fair, Bernard didn't have much of a chance. And as we said, they only had 14 carries. So anybody who likes physical pound them football walked away disappointed that night. I still think going forward, keep your eye on Keyshawn Vaughn. This isn't going to be his year in 2020, barring some catastrophic injuries. But going forward, I think Arians likes this guy. And, you know, and Jones and Fournette certainly did not add to their resume Thursday night.
No, not a great start for either guy, but a long season, and none of us think the Bucs won't be able to run the ball, so we'll see if they can do it when they really need to. Sage, two things Bruce Arians said on his radio show that are sort of combined that needs your wisdom as the king of Newport Richie and the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Antonio Brown, obviously he had a great night. Bruce Arians said he looked 25 years old again. And that was the line through training camp that from you that, hey, this guy looks rejuvenated and completely electric. And combine that with Arian saying on his radio show that of Rob Gronkowski, that he looks so good and he's in such great shape this year compared to the way he was last year. And he got through a full season last year. Quote, his workload can go up in games. Now, I looked it up, Ira. Gronk averaged... he played 75% of the snaps last year, and that was his typical average in New England. So if they're looking at using him more, and Antonio Brown looks 100% and like he's found the fountain of youth, and you got Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, who you got to have on the field, That does not leave much room for two wide receiver sets, Ira.
Two tight end sets.
You got it. Yeah. Doesn't leave much room for two tight ends. So what does this mean, Ira?
Well, I would be careful about that if I was Arians. I'm careful with Gronkowski. I know he looks great. He's in better shape than he was in 2020. But his age is what his age is, and he's not Tom Brady in terms of taking care of himself. I want Gronkowski fresh in the postseason. I'm assuming the Bucs will get to the postseason. I certainly don't think that's a stretch. The guy caught two touchdowns in the Super Bowl, comes back the next game in the same stadium and gets another two. He's an incredible red zone threat. Incredible. And he's so smart, and Brady has such confidence in him. Steve, we talked about, you know, those, especially that second touchdown. It was such a slow developing play because Gronkowski was in there in a blocking stance and actually did block for a while and then snuck out in the coverage. I don't want to overuse Gronkowski, Steve. We'll see. 75% sounds about right. He's got a capable backup in Brady. The odd man out is O.J. Howard. I don't think he's 100% in that way. I feel a little bad for Howard because this is his make-or-break year as a Buccaneer. If he does not have an impactful season, Steve, I don't think he's going to be re-signed, and he'll hit the free agent market where you'll wonder what kind of interest there would be in O.J. Howard. There'll be some interest, but it won't be overwhelming. Brady's a capable backup. Steve, and the bigger point to what you were saying in terms of Antonio Brown, now Gronkowski, completely healthy. Steve, I'm coming around to what you said. Look, the O-line, the protection, 50 passes for Brady, zero sacks. They can open some better holes, but they didn't have a lot of opportunities. Steve, your main point, I think, is right. Why can't this team average 35 points? Now, that's a big number, Steve, and it's a big jump from last year, even though they had a heck of an offense last year. Why can't they average 35 points? That would be in the upper echelon in NFL history, no question about it. But if Antonio Brown's going to look like this, barring serious injuries up front or to Brady, who's going to stop this team? Steve, I think they could have scored 40. Godwin doesn't fumble at the two. You know, I think they probably would have ended up with about 40 points. They moved the ball at will. They stopped themselves. The 11 penalties didn't help. If they play a crisp game, who's going to stop this offense?
I mean, hey, if Godwin turns that into 7 instead of the 3 that they ended up getting, that's your 35 right there. That's your difference. I think they can do it. You've heard me say all summer, hey, this could be the greatest offense in the history of offenses, and we'll see how it plays out. But they could be right up there. I don't think they'll approach what Denver did a few years ago with Peyton Manning, but they certainly could. They certainly have.
And then Steve, you got the 07 Patriots, of course, as another comparison.
Yeah, and you have the head coach with the mindset to attack and to pour it on with some quick strikes. So, yeah, that always helps. Ira, I got to ask you this. This is sort of telling, you know, it makes you sort of feel even better that, ooh, glad the Bucs squeaked out a victory here. This is from Bruce Arians himself. Quote, "They caught us a little off guard throwing 58 times and not really trying to establish the run," he said of the Cowboys. He also went on to say, "We got to adjust to some different screen looks a whole lot quicker than we did." And he also said he hopes that teams try to run more against the Bucs because, yeah, that's the core of their defense, stop the run and play off that. So it's very interesting, Ira, because he's sort of out there saying, like, hey, we didn't get attacked the way we were hoping, and we hope that we do get attacked that way because that's how our defense works. It sounds like the NFL is going to adjust to the Bucs in a way that we haven't seen before.
You know, I think Arians is trying to play mind games, Steve, and he's good at it. Yeah, the Buck defense is better against the run than it is against the pass. I mean, there's no question about it based on the 2 years that Arians has been on the Buck sidelines. There's no debate about that. Maybe he meant, you know, a team with Ezekiel Elliott, he expected Elliott to get 20, 22 carries. That's not realistic anymore because... And give Dalvin Cook all the credit in the world for gashing the Bucs for more than 100 yards that day in a loss. I believe that was the first game after the bye week. But you certainly can't blame that loss on Dalvin Cook, who was very effective. But he's the only one, Steve, that's been able to do that against the Bucs rush defense. C- Kamara can't do it. McCaffrey's done nothing, even, you know, previous years before he got hurt last year. Steve, this is not the first time a Buck opponent's tried 50 passes. It's not the first time. They played Jared Goff. You remember that crazy shootout in L.A.? The Bucks ended up winning. Goff threw for about 450 yards. I think last year he threw a lot of passes against the Bucks in a 27-24 Rams victory. So Arians is kind of hoping that teams keep trying to crack that rush defense. It's not that they have a bad pass defense, although you wouldn't know it from Thursday night, Steve. But down the stretch last year, there was nothing wrong with the Bucks' pass defense. Nothing wrong at all. You know, they handled Aaron Rodgers, they handled Breeze, and we saw what they did against Mahomes. So here comes Prescott. I thought Prescott was fantastic. Dallas had a really good game plan about getting the ball out quick. He only got sacked once. You said 58 pass attempts, Steve. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. And, Steve, you and I can't be surprised. We watched a lot of football. If your pass rush isn't formidable and isn't impactful, you're probably going to be in for a long day in the National Football League, and I don't care who you are. That's just the way it is, the way the rules are, how good the quarterbacks are. It's all geared to success in the passing game. And sure, Arians wants the Falcons to run the ball 30 times rather than Matt Ryan throwing to Calvin Ridley. Smart guy, Arians, but it's not going to happen.
The highlighting of, or just such the strong example of, Ezekiel Elliott being on the field, and hey, the Cowboys gave up on the run very, very early when they didn't have to. It's not like they were trailing by a lot. And they clearly had a game plan to have their injured recovering quarterback throw 50 times. So you put those two together, and it's like, why wouldn't every other team look to, you know, attack the Bucs in a similar way when they don't have anywhere close to the running back of Ezekiel Elliott? So it'll be interesting going forward, Ira, but you mentioned that pass rush, and there's something that you have to explore, Sage. It needs your wisdom, but first we have to tell everybody that they can hang out with you, Ira Kaufman, at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road, to watch every Bucks road game this season. That starts with the Buccaneers at the Rams, 4 o'clock game a week from Sunday, and of course you can watch all the games at Big Storm anyway. But Sage will be out there. You're going to have some giveaways with you. Beautiful 3,000-square-foot outdoor covered seating. Great sight lines, great sound. It's completely modern. And you got the indoor tap room if you want to hang out inside, which is modern and beautiful as well. A-plus menu, Ira. But more important is every fan can enjoy Big Storm beer with their football weekends. BigStormBrewery.com. That's where you can find the beer. Punch in your zip code. It'll tell you where it's sold. And they've got the tap rooms at that flagship location in Clearwater, plus Odessa off State Road 54, Cape Coral, and at the Amway Center, open 7 days a week in Orlando. Ira, look, here's the deal. Bruce Arians said, quote, great game from Vita Vea, and he went on to say that such a great game from Vea should have equaled more pass rush, playing off that, which is logical, right? I mean, if your guy in the middle is pushing the pocket and occupying two bodies, where the hell was everybody else? So it's an interesting phenomenon there. Bucks former Bucks quarterback Sean King went on a rant calling the Bucks pass rush embarrassing. He's back in the media now working for VEASAN out in Las Vegas. Ira, your thoughts on the Vea love that's coming everywhere and the lack of the pass rush in that context?
Steve, I'm not going to argue that Vita Vea was the Bucs' best defensive lineman on Thursday night. I'm not talking about that. But let's temper it a little bit. Let's just temper it a little bit. The guy threw 58 passes. He was sacked once. Mr. Vea did not show up on the post-game stat sheet. That isn't everything, Steve. It's not everything, but it's something. It's something. And I'm certainly not saying Vea had a bad game, but if you don't show up on a stat sheet, you can't have a dominant night, Steve. I mean, that's just silly. And by the way, Steve, as we're speaking, I'm looking at this Rams game last year. It reminds me very much of this Dallas game. Goff threw 51 passes. He completed 39. Prescott had 42. 376 yards, 3 touchdowns. What jumps out at me, Steve, he wasn't sacked. He was not sacked. So as a result, he completes 39 passes. 2 of his receivers go over 100 yards. Does that sound familiar, Steve? The difference was the Rams won the game. They didn't run worth a damn. Got nothing on the ground against the Bucks. So they decided, bombs away. Throw the football. So for Arians to say he was caught, you know, and Bowles was taken by surprise by the Cowboys. Steve, the Cowboys' strength of their team, everybody knows it, is their wide receivers. I mean, Elliott's good. He's not as good as he was a few years ago. But they've got, you know, 3 really good receivers. I think Gallup's hurt now going forward. He's going to miss a month. But he was healthy. And, you know, when you got C.D. Lamb and Cooper, by the way, Cooper, Steve, he is a smooth route runner. He's one of the great route runners in this league. Really smooth. When you got that, what are you going to do? Give the ball to Elliott? You got to remember last year, Steve, in the first 5 games before Prescott was hurt, he was throwing 50 passes a game. So how the heck can that be a surprise Thursday night, Steve, that they abandoned the run and that's what he was doing. He was throwing 50 passes a game.
I completely agree with you, Ira. I'm not sure how it was a surprise. I mean, even Mike Evans before the game called the Cowboys receiving core a top 3 receiving core. And Arians said it was the old Dak Prescott, or that's what he was counting on. And like you said, before he got hurt, he was throwing for 400 yards a game. So I think the average was very close to that. So it was surprising. You know, we have to filter the coach speak. We have to analyze, figure out what's what. But the reality is they got lucky that the Cowboys didn't make their field goals, but also it shows the strength of the team to overcome all those turnovers and all that adversity. You know, frankly, the Super Bowl hangover, I think it didn't really show up in a lot of ways that a lot of people thought it might have. So good for them. It was a strong win. I think Dallas probably is going to have a decent season, maybe a 8-9 kind of season, 9-8. So it's a strong win no matter how you slice it. But the spin gets a little bit interesting. And, you know, Vita Vea, still, first-round draft pick. We need him to make more plays than he put in. But look, if he plays like that every week, no one's going to complain, even if he didn't end up with anything on the stat sheet.
Steve, one guy we haven't mentioned about Thursday, we haven't mentioned him, and I think it's worth pointing it out. Again, with the stat sheet can be deceiving, Steve, in terms of Vita Vea, and I think it could be deceiving the other way around, and that, I mean, Devin White, I believe, had double-digit tackles. He might have led the team. But, Steve, looking back, and you watched the film 3 or 4 times, I don't remember a single play really where you really noticed Devin White. And that's unusual, especially the way he played during the season-ending 8-game winning streak and especially in the postseason. Kind of an off night for Devin White in terms of usually he blows up a couple of plays and you can't help but notice the closing speed. He'll have better days going forward.
Yeah, I think he had some good tackles in that game. I think his tackling was a little bit more sure than you might see on an opening day, but certainly nothing special because he's a guy who you expect to make a play, quote unquote, every single game. And that really wasn't there from him. But, you know, not a bad game. Just not what we expect or came to expect at the very end of last season. Ira, got to run this past you. Chris Godwin was the topic of conversation to Mike Evans on the Buccaneers radio network. And they asked him sort of, hey, you know, what's something that we maybe don't appreciate about Godwin in full? Evans went right to toughness. And he said, quote, super tough player, plays through so many injuries that nobody would ever even know about. But he goes out there and looks like he's 100%. That line, Ira, so many injuries that nobody would ever even know about. I mean, a guy like Mike Evans sees players with a lot of injuries. You know, he sees what goes on the team. And for Godwin's injuries to stand out like that, the ones we don't know about, forgetting about the broken finger from last year, does that give you any kind of vibe that, hey, maybe he's injury prone? Maybe obviously the Bucks know this, and maybe he's a little extra banged up for a 25-year-old. I don't know. It seemed a little unique to me to hear that kind of thing from Mike Evans on week 1.
I don't look at it that way, Steve. I look at it as a giant stamp of approval from one quintessential pro in Evans to another. We all know how Brady feels about Godwin. He went to him on maybe the most crucial completion of the game, and that's after he had fumbled. You know, 6 minutes before that, Brady had no hesitation about going to Godwin. I've called him the modern-day Hines Ward, and I'm a guy that is a Hines Ward guy for Canton. The physicality, and what does Evans talk about? He didn't say hands. He didn't say pattern. He didn't say his speed. He said his toughness. I don't know a more physical receiver in this league than Chris Godwin. What does Arians always talk about, Steve? His blocking. His blocking. Now, look. You know, I don't want a wide receiver who the first thing I'm saying is his blocking. Not the first thing. But it sure ain't bad to say it as the third thing. And Godwin probably should have missed 5 or 6 games last year, Steve. You could look at it like that. But he didn't. You love everything about the guy. Now, I think the biggest question going forward with Godwin is, could he go to another team and be a number one? We don't know that. We don't know what that. Number one carries certain responsibilities, you know, the kind of coverage you attract that, frankly, Mike Evans attracts week in and week out. I don't think teams treat Godwin the way they do Evans. I really don't, Steve. Not at this point in their career. So, you know, the Bucs have to make decisions about Godwin, but I'll tell you this. If Brady's got anything to say about it, and he does, Steve, Chris Godwin's not going anywhere, and Buck fans don't want to see him in any other uniform.
Absolutely, Ira. It's going to be fascinating because even yesterday, Byron Leftwich was talking about, hey, Mike Evans draws the double teams. It's about hitting the open man, and that's Evans week in and week out. So Godwin is the beneficiary, and if the Bucs choose to pay their number two receiver $20 million more than the number one guy, like you said, Brady will make that call, and that's what's going to happen. Ira, I want everyone to subscribe to the podcast wherever podcast platforms are that you listen to, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, whatever it might be. You can always get that free alert, and then you know when the podcast has dropped, and you can listen to The Sage. So, Ira, Tom Brady has his radio show with Jim Gray called Let's Go, and they ask him a lot of silly questions. It's on SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio, where fans can find you every Wednesday at 5 o'clock during football season. But they asked Tom Brady about living in Florida, and he talked about how he was seasick all the time, or previously when he went out on boats, swore off boats years ago. But he moves into Derek Jeter's house, and he sees the empty boat dock out there and people going by, and he decides, okay, I got to buy a boat. And then he says it arrived 8 months later, meaning that he didn't just buy a boat to test drive. He goes out, he bought that $2 million yacht, and it showed up 8 months later. And now he loves boating. He's into it. You know, so it's like, seems to be he's a real real Florida man.
Yeah, this thing about boating, I think this is a real thing. He's mentioned it before in other interviews. It's another world to conquer for Tom Brady. He's always looking for challenges. I don't think it'll be long before he's considered an expert angler. I think he's smart enough not to get cited for excessive drinking on the water. I'd be surprised if that happened, although I think he got a little tipsy during the boat parade, but that's all right. He wasn't steering a vessel. I think it's great. Brady has overcome his initial distaste for boats, and here he is in Tampa taking advantage. Steve, you threw me off with that $2 million yacht because it's a little out of my price range, baby.
It's wild, Ira. One thing he did say with these personal questions they were asking him, I believe the question was his favorite buffet item. Now, I know you're a buffet connoisseur, but Brady did not pick an item. You know what he said, Ira? He said he doesn't like salad bars and the thought of food sitting out for 4 hours or all day before he eats it, or a buffet in general, that it's been sitting there. He can't eat them. It's just not his thing. And I never really thought about it. You know how it is, Ira. You go to Golden Corral, you're not sitting there wondering how long have those croutons been there? Have they been there more than 2 hours? I mean, you just throw them on the plate, you know?
I'm going to be thinking about what Brady said when I'm sitting at the Golden Walk in a couple of days, Lee. Make them my third circle around. At least I get a new tray every time. Yeah, lemon chicken, you know. Those Chinese buffets will kill you dying. Absolutely kill you.
If I remember correctly, didn't they have like a panel with Gronk, Tom Brady, Mike Evans, Levante David, and they were asking what food can you not do without? You got stranded on a desert island. What foods would you bring with you you couldn't live without? And it came to Brady. He's like, nah, I'm not a big food guy. And then Gronk said, well, you like nuts? Oh, yeah, that's true. I like nuts.
Yeah, Brady, he didn't say he wasn't a food guy. He said that I'm not answering that it'll be all over social media. I'm not answering that question. And then Gronk said mixed nuts, avocados, and he couldn't think of anything else. But Mike Evans actually said, I've never seen him eat anything.
You know, one thing that's interesting, it's happening right before our eyes. You know, Brady's got this reputation, very private. You know, nobody probes into the Brady mind, and he's very, you know, sticks to the script. But guys, haven't you noticed, as I have, every time you turn around, the guy's doing an interview, and now ESPN's doing something with him. I'm not sure what the heck that is, but they're advertising that.
Brady's production company, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, does he need the publicity? I'm a little surprised.
I know, he just needs the Benjamins. That's his production company. He produces the show. So ESPN's paying him.
How many more Benjamins, Lee? How many more?
You know, after you retire, you got to keep up, you got to find other ways to keep up that lifestyle. So it's like you, Ira, you can't go to the Zen Forest every other day after you retire. You know, the revenue's not there. Again, can't pull it off anymore.
I'm going to go there more often because they got big store products there now.
Here's what I have noticed. Just like I said earlier, I don't follow Alabama. I hardly know any of their players. I know they're a dominant team and always on TV, but I'm sick of them. It's like I'm sick of the Patriots. I never watched the Patriots. Even in the Super Bowls, I didn't watch the Patriots. So I didn't follow Brady at all. But what I have noticed, Ira, is the national NFL guys, whether it's Peter King or Peter Schrager or Albert Breer, you know, you fill in the blank. I have noticed them saying they've seen a change in Brady since he started playing for the Bucks. He's much more open. He's much more revealing. And so I find it interesting, all these national guys, like, wow, he's got a personality. I have to think that's because of Belichick.
Hey, Ira, real quick, I also made me think of, you know, Brady's doing those Subway commercials. You go to Subway, those condiments for the sandwich, they're sitting there for 7 hours. They could be there all day, Ira. It's baffling, Sage.
But Steve, wasn't there a question about whether they were using real tuna fish in Subway? How about that, Brady?
New York Times hired some lab, and the results were from the lab that it was fake tuna. Someone else did this, not the New York Times, but someone else checked the bread out. And basically the bread has the same type of ingredients you would find in yoga mats.
It's not exactly your high-end restaurant, Sage, that you frequent, like the Big Storm Tap Room or Hooters and all those places you go. Ira, I got one topic that I got to hit you before we go. But first, we will say goodbye by reminding everybody to go to BillCurryFord.com. That's where you shop. That's where you begin. Or you just pick up the phone and you call GM Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford and you say, this is the kind of help I'm looking for. How can you help me? What can you do for me, Sean? And of course, drink Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. And as we heard earlier, your first phone call, any kind of damage in your home, disaster damage, fire, mold, whatever it is, you call Florida's Elite Restoration. That's Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, I got to put this out there, and maybe it's just me and I'm not one of these virus lunatics, but I gotta mention it. We got to be authentic here. Bruce Arians, you've heard him go bananas about the virus and we're going to beat the virus and I don't want these guys. I'm worried about them taking time off and on the road trips, we're going to be locked in our rooms and all this stuff. Well, Bruce Arians, this weekend, where was he? The guy takes off. He goes to Virginia Tech. He's in the booth. He's talking about how he took so many pictures and meeting so many old friends. And meanwhile, on the field before the game Thursday, he's hugging Warren Sapp. Well, we got pictures of it. He's hugging other people. I don't know. I am not knocking the guy, but I was just surprised with all of his outward chatter about, you know, players' behavior. I was surprised to see him on ESPN and then his whole Virginia Tech trip over the weekend. What's your thought, Ira?
I'm not going to call him a hypocrite, Steve. I'm not going to imply that. He might have let his guard down a few times, but I think his concern about his team is genuine. He will lock it down on the road. They're not going to go, skateboard down Venice Beach the day before they're playing the Rams. That ain't going to happen. You know, I'll cut him some slack, Steve. Certainly, he has had his vaccines. He might have already had his booster shot. I'm not worried about Bruce Arians in that regard. I'm going to cut him a little slack, but it is interesting, you know, do what I say, not what I do. But I think he feels safe about his own body, and I'll leave it at that.
All right, Sage. Again, I wasn't knocking it, but I could not bring it up. It seemed a little strange to me, but I needed you to set me straight, Ira. Look, we've got another podcast this week where we're going to be diving into the Falcons game, and you've already written your column implying that it is no game, but we're all going to be watching anyway. And Ira, be well, dine well, and enjoy those buffets. We'll see you next time.
I got two pieces of Bruce Arians trivia about Virginia Tech that I think people would find cool. The first off, I'm pretty sure this is common knowledge. He has a single season record for rushing touchdowns for a quarterback. Not Michael Vick, Bruce Arians. That's number one. It's pretty wild. The other one is, did either of you guys see Remember the Titans? Of course. Oh, my God, Ira, you saw a mainstream movie. Well, you'll get this then, Ira. Bruce Arians played against Sunshine in college.
Wow. Boy, you got the trivia going over there.
Sunshine was a starting quarterback in South Carolina, and those two guys played against each other in college.
Is there any films of Arians on the field?
Yeah, I've seen clips.
I wonder if his release time was quicker than Brady's.
They showed, I believe they showed one or two during the broadcast pregame show on Thursday night on NBC. One was him, I think, like a two-yard run into the end zone and something else. So, yeah, it's out there, Sage. All right, Ira, we're out.